Welcome to the Caregiver's Toolbox, tools for everyday caregiving. We provide education and information on senior care topics. Here's your host, Ryan McInniff.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to another podcast with the Caregiver's Toolbox. My name is Ryan McInniff, and I am the owner of Minute Women Home Care, and this podcast is to give education and information about senior care topics. I have a great podcast today. I have two guests, something that I'm passionate about, and I'm going to be attending, and I think you should as well. We are talking about the Alzheimer's Association, Massachusetts and New Hampshire chapter, Hope on the Harbor fundraiser. I'm here with Adrian Ross, as well as Marty Donahue. Marty Donahue is the board of directors of the Alzheimer's Association, as well as Hope on the Harbor. It's great to have you both on. I'm excited about this, and thank you so much for coming on the show.
Thanks for having us.
Thank you, Ryan. It's great to be here.
Yeah. Thank you. So, Adrian, we'll start with you. Tell us about Hope on the Harbor, what it's all about, how long has it been going on? How did this whole thing get started, and what people need to know about this event?
Sure. So Hope on the Harbor is our annual gala that happens every spring at the Alzheimer's Association. So this year is actually our 12th annual, I believe. Maybe even 13th. I think it's our 12th. So it happens every spring. Like I said, we've changed venues the last few years, but this year we're really excited to finally be back on the harbor. We moved away for a few years, but finally back on the water. So we're at the Seaport Hotel on May 16th. And it's really not your typical gala. It's an opportunity for the corporate community of Greater Boston to come together and support our mission and vision of a world without Alzheimer's and all other dementia. So it appeals to the corporate crowd. It's on a weeknight. We try to keep a really tight program, but still informative about the work that we do at the Alzheimer's Association. But it's a good mix of people who are really familiar with our work and people who may just be hearing about us for the first time. We do a pretty brief speaking program and overview about the last year and of the work that we've done at the Alzheimer's Association. Usually have a keynote speaker. This year, we're going to be joined by our Chief Diversity and Inclusion Officer from our home office, Dr. Carl Hill, who people always really love to hear from, just to speak about the work in diversity and equity that the Alzheimer's Association is doing across the country, especially around treatment and research right now. And we also do a live auction. We do an award presentation where we honor both a company and an individual or family that are going above and beyond for our mission. So this year, we're recognizing Blue Cross Blue Shield of Massachusetts and then Barry and Natalie Green, who are supporters of our Dementia Care Coordination Program. So it's a really fun event. We squeeze a lot into a few hours and do a live auction. And I think the highlight for everybody is the end of our program. We do a video, which we've been calling the Reason to Hope video, where we highlight a family who's been impacted by Alzheimer's and who has used our programs and services. And while the stories are really sad and can be emotional at times, it really also, we try to focus on the positives and how they're living well with Alzheimer's disease and how our chapter has really helped them throughout their journey and navigate all of the challenges that come with a diagnosis. So that's a summary. Marty, do you have anything to add?
That's a pretty damn good summary. I think the thing to add is sort of the, and a reason we're on this podcast is you know, we're creating a groundswell with this, right? This is a, and Jim Wessler's our the CEO of our chapter, and he really resonated with me early on in my involvement with the Alzheimer's Association when he said, if you walk into any office today, any room that there's more than 20 people, and said, does anyone know anyone who's experiencing Alzheimer's either directly or indirectly? Said about 35% of the people would raise their hands. And that's a big number. And I've seen it happen. And it's happening today with the people volunteering and the people sponsoring and the people signing up to donate. It's like everybody knows multiple people now who are afflicted with this disease or caring for somebody with disease. So we've got a lot more people who are interested in helping than when I started 6 or 7 years ago on the committee. So that's great news. And I do think it's working.
Absolutely. But there's also a lot of work to be done as well, right? There's still a lot of education around this. I definitely think that, you know, maybe even a decade ago is short, you know, the days are long, but the years are short. It's crazy to think that, you know, 2014 was a decade ago, but, you know, the taboo around this and, you know, people maybe didn't talk about this as openly as they do now. And that's all part of it, because the more people that are talking about what's going on with their loved ones or themselves or friends and family, the more that kind of breaks that wall down and people start having those conversations and saying, hey, I need to learn more about this. I need to get prepared. Or I found out that my mom or my grandparents had symptoms that kind of sound like this, but back in the day, they didn't necessarily know what was going on. And I want to check myself out and I want to get prepared and things like that. And that really helps spread that message around.
Exactly.
Absolutely. Go ahead. No, I think what's happening is it's also become very apparent that this is not just an old person's disease. I mean, the early onset Alzheimer's is, I think, the thing that shocks the most people when you see people in their 30s and 40s in the height of their life and the height of their career suddenly getting diagnosed with this. And I think that is a big wake-up call for people who, because talk about reducing the stigma. Yes, there's one thing that, like, a lot of people get it that you don't know get it. And then there's the other thing, a lot of people who are way younger than you think get this disease. So it really does open it up to a larger universe, which makes more people interested in helping.
Absolutely. And to speak specifically about that, you know, I remember when Pat Summitt came out and said, I have this, I have early onset dementia. I forget if it was Alzheimer's or exactly what it was, but it was breaking news in the ESPN world. And I think it was national news because it was such a shock, where a well-known figurehead in the sports community that had been unbelievably successful and was currently unbelievably successful. I mean, she was still on that run. And then all of a sudden, you know, that came out, and then it realized, oh, wow, this isn't just something that happens on the fringes. This is something that everybody's going to have to have some experience with, as they're going to know somebody. And it really made it real for a lot of people. And even in the last few years, we've seen Bruce Willis come out and say, hey, I have a form of dementia. And I think Wendy Williams just came out and said, I have a form of this dementia. I'm drawing a blank on the name. Aphasia, was it called?
Frontal temporal lobe dementia too.
Yes. So I was thinking it was a different name, the frontal lobe. But the point being is that when two well-known people come out within, it seems like, a year of each other and say, hey, we're having this issue, when, you know, 70s the new 60, 80s the new 70 kind of thing. And you're saying, hey, Bruce Willis should be jumping off of buildings, blowing things up in diehards, and now he's having these problems. You know, it again brings that stigma down, like you were talking about, Marty.
Definitely.
And even close to home, I mean, we had my very first Hope in the Harbor, which again was several years ago, Governor Baker spoke, and that lit up the room as far as his mom had just passed away. My mom had just passed away. And it was, even knowing that someone like that could have this, you know, this disease in his family. And he was wonderful the entire time he was governor. And I'm sure he's still very personally connected to the Alzheimer's and the disease. But the way he opened up his life to the, whatever, 500 people in the room, that resonated, because it's like, wow, if that can affect someone like that, it's a disease that unifies in the worst possible way.
Definitely.
Unfortunately,
that's why a lot of people sponsor the gala too, is more and more companies are just recognizing how prevalent it is. Like Marty was talking about earlier, their employees are impacted by this disease, whether they're caring for a loved one currently, or they just know that their employees are dealing with this at home. There's a lot more people who are sandwich caregivers, so caring for a parent with Alzheimer's or dementia while also caring for kids at home. So whatever we can do to just be there for these companies' employees and really be a resource to them and just get the word out about the work that the Alzheimer's Association does, the better.
Absolutely. And that kind of brings us to some of the things. Marty is the co-chair of this Hope on the Harbor event, is the volunteers that are involved. And there is a lot of work that goes into putting on just the small little shindig you have happening on the 16th, this big event that is going to be the, for a lot of people, their biggest involvement with the Alzheimer's Association. So can you tell me a little bit about how that gets involved, how that happens, and what's involved with putting something like this on, and how the volunteers are involved with that?
Well, so there's two levels of volunteers. You know, there's the people who sort of put the show together. I always call it a show. It's an event. it feels like a show, but it's like all the people who just step up and actually manage the event, put the event together. There's a lot of people, and there's people who work at the Alzheimer's Association, like Adrian and Jane Paragona, and there's all kinds of those folks. And then there's us, the people who are outside of the organization, but volunteer to drum up support, drum up sponsorships, and they come from all walks of life. Some are personally involved, and some work at organizations like myself, who try to get other sort of corporate like-minded people to jump in and help and sponsor. And it's one of the things that's interesting is my first year, I had never fundraised in my life outside of like contributing, outside of donating, you know, for whatever cause that we would donate to professionally or personally. And suddenly I find myself, well, I've got to ask people to sponsor this event. and the thing that worked beautifully is, well, I have a story I can share with somebody that, and if it can resonate with enough people, I might be able to, you know, garner some support. And that's exactly what happened. I didn't know what I was doing. I sent notes to complete strangers, hoping that somebody would be going through something very similar to what I was going through, and I'm still going through. And that is exactly what happened. And you tap into this massive network of people who, and even the people who wouldn't donate or sponsor, would send a note back and say, my mother, my grandmother, my sister, like that. Everyone had somebody. And that was really eye-opening, because it definitely made you feel like you weren't alone. But it's also how we got a lot of help, you know. And I don't care who in the committee would be on this podcast, I think everyone would say something similar to that. There's just a whole lot of people in the New England market who are affected by this, who want to help. And then it's our job to kind of connect with them and say, well, here's how you can help. Show up at the event, donate money, donate auction items. And it's been tremendous to see how the support has grown.
Definitely.
Yeah. And go ahead, Adrian.
I was just going to say, Marty covered a lot of what I was going to say, but he's undermining how much these volunteers really do. This event, it raises over $1 million a year, and a huge portion of that revenue comes from the volunteer committee. So Marty's on the executive leadership committee, which is our longest standing volunteer committee. It's been around since the inception of the event, really, and their focus is engaging their personal and professional networks and really tapping into that corporate community in Greater Boston and just getting more companies on board. So bringing back past sponsors and also trying to focus on engaging new companies as well, and hopefully encouraging them to sponsor and attend the gala for sure. But they do a bulk of the work. I am here as a resource. I help with drafting letters or whatever I can do, but they're really the ones going out, boots on the ground, and raising as much money as possible for this event. And then we have two new committees this year. So we have a new host committee, which really is focused on engaging more families and individuals. So working similarly to the executive leadership committee, but less so on the company side and more just their personal networks, and encouraging people to purchase tables. And then we have a new auction committee. So as part of the event, we do both a live auction and silent auction. So really their goal is just to get as many items as possible. We try to cover a lot of restaurants and golf courses and vacation homes and things throughout Mass and New Hampshire, so that there really is something for everybody in the auction at a variety of price points.
Yeah, I was just about to ask, what are some of those, what are some of the notable auction items that you can remember from the previous years that people always seem to be drawn to?
So I think golf foursomes are always a huge hit. Those always go over well. We have some like really elite clubs that you can't just walk in and golf at. You have to be a member. So we'll have members who offer to host a group of three to come and play golf with them. Last year, we had a trip to the Bahamas, which went over really well. We've also had 20 seats at a Red Sox game and the ability to throw out the first pitch at the game, which was a huge hit. This year, we have a Fiji stay, which we're really excited about. So lots and lots of things. Travel packages always do well. Golf packages always do well. And then we always have a variety of restaurants and stores and things that donate gift cards, coffee shops, really ranging from $15 gift cards to $500 gift cards. So we try to find some unique and one of a kind experiences too. So things that you can't just purchase on a daily basis. Like this year we have Shadow Estate Rep for a day, or a tour of a news studio, like things that you might not be able to do in your day-to-day life.
One of the cool things that happened last year was, and this was spontaneous, this was awesome. One of the auction items was a chef, I forget the name of the chef, Adrian, you would know, it's a chef, a prominent chef in Boston. He offered sort of a private chef dinner at someone's home. He would come to the home with his staff and they'd prepare a meal for whatever, eight people, I think it was, with wine and everything. And that sold a live auction very quickly. And then the auctioneer MC that night, he got him going. By the end of the night, this guy volunteered to do, how many did he do, Adrian?
Five dinners total.
Five different dinners. So they would get thousands of dollars for one. And then the MC said, would you want to do another? And the chef said, of course. He did five different, I forget, just that one item alone. What was it?
Yeah, they each sold for $9,000. So it was $45,000 just for one.
And it was so great. And the room was so excited because suddenly everyone wanted that thing. Mm-hmm. and the chef kept saying, sure, I'll do another one if it helps the cause. It was really great to see.
Yeah.
Well, that's outstanding that he went from what he went from one to five pretty quickly. So it's great. So what I'm hearing is anything to get me out of the office, i.e. golfing, any trips that I can take the family on and say, hey, honey, I went to a good cause. We need to go to food if Fiji. And then or you don't have to cook tonight and we're going to get a world-class chef to come into the office. I'm sure there's a lot of other great things, but there might be some of those categories that people are like, yeah, well, I don't have to work if I'm supporting the Alzheimer's Association by golfing all day. That's what
exactly.
I'm doing for the community.
I'm doing exactly. The right thing. Yeah, exactly.
Support a good cause and have some fun at the same time.
Absolutely. Well, I mean, not on that level, but anytime I like a chamber events had a golf outing that I go to, it's always been kind of some smirks and under the breath comments like, oh, tough life you have having to spend the day going golfing. Like, hey, I'm networking. I'm promoting the business. So it's always a good thing, but those are some great opportunities for people to give back and obviously have some really great experiences from that. If you're unable to do the sponsoring and you're not at that level yet,
right?
And so Marty, what are some of the questions that when you kind of mentioned that there's conversations that you have with some of these prospective sponsors? What are some of the questions that they ask? What are some of the things that they're interested in learning about? So if they happen to be listening to this podcast, say, oh, this makes sense. This might be the right thing for us.
Great question. And I think it's really different from the questions they might have been asking even 3 years ago to what I can tell them in the last two or three years. So 3 years ago, the biggest question was, well, where does the money go? What does the money do? What is it doing? Because everyone knew at the time there was no treatment for Alzheimer's, period. You know, there was ways to make people comfortable. There was ways you can counsel people about the signs and get support. There was legislative support that the Alzheimer's Association does. And the biggest thing that they do is they're the number one funder of research in the world, the Alzheimer's Association. So that was the thing that I would say 3 years ago. I was able to start saying something different because that was, well, less than 3 years ago. That's when aducanumab got FDA approval. Since then, Leqembi is the second drug that's gotten approval, and that's out there in the market now. And there's a third, donanemab, that we're just waiting to see if it gets FDA approval literally weeks from now. So though there were no treatments at all when I started on the committee. And so you're basically saying, help us fund the research, help us fund the legislative efforts to get more money for research. And now you can say, this is showing tangible results that are affecting people with Alzheimer's directly. And that's such a great thing to be able to say. And there's many more treatments on the horizon. We're liking it to sort of planes landing up, ready to land on the runway. So there's more coming that are, the only reason they're coming is because they've been funded by organizations like the Alzheimer's. So, but the first question is, where's the money going? How am I helping? And mm-hmm. I think the most important question can now be answered with, here's how it's helping. And then, yes, the halo of that is the legislative efforts are gigantic. And also the 24/7 hotline that the Alzheimer's Association provides with a real person on the other end. So people are afflicted every day with this disease. And the first thing you do is panic and say, well, where do I go? And the Alzheimer's Association is that place to go. They're always on with help and support. So it really is. There's a lot of tangible things this organization is doing that isn't just raising money to raise money.
Absolutely. And it's big. And I only bring this up just to prove your points is that, you know, I'm always scouring the internet for different conferences to be a part of and to network. And there's just this upcoming month, the 12th annual Alzheimer's and Parkinson's Drug Development Summit is in Boston. And not to take away from what we're doing here to promote the Hope on the Harbor, but to the point of there are a lot of pharmaceutical companies that are at this. And part of that reason is because they're starting to get that traction and see the results after, I'm sure, decades of research and development and trying to figure out what works. It costs a lot of money to do that. It takes a lot of time. It's probably not my thing that I'm part of because I'm an Irish guy that doesn't have the patience for a 10-year trial or whatever it takes. But there are good people that can do that. And that's part of your point is that that money goes to funding those types of things and being able to have the research and development so that it can improve people's lives down the road. So, like you said, 10 years ago, or even 4 or 5 years ago, it may have been tough to show tangible evidence, but we're starting to see that right now. And this money is going to be helping people in the next 5 to 10 years as well down the road as new technologies come up and breakthroughs come through, and it will help people, be able to care for their loved ones or for themselves. So it's a good thing to do. And like you said, we all know somebody that's had these types of, had some form of dementia, Alzheimer's or otherwise. And so it is going to be a bigger and bigger problem as the older generation, the baby boomers, get older and older. And it would certainly be a good thing to be able to help them and subsequent generations with a disease like dementia and Alzheimer's.
And I think about, and I mentioned him earlier, the CEO of our Mass New England chapter, Jim Wessler, he's been at the Alzheimer's Association for 30 years. 30 years he's been fighting the good fight. And only the last three he's been able to say, we are now in the era of treatment. Mm-hmm. And that's incredible dedication on his part. But it just shows that if you stick with something long enough, good things are going to happen.
Absolutely. Absolutely. So just to kind of wrap this up since we're on time, Adrian, how do people find out more about this? How do they buy tickets? How do they hopefully sponsor? What can they do and how can they take immediate action right now after listening to this podcast?
Sure. So more information about the event as a whole can be found on our website, which is hopeontheharbor.org. To actually buy tickets or purchase a table or sponsorship opportunities, you can go to hopeontheharbor.givesmart.com. That's our registration platform and has less information about the event, but really easy way to buy tickets that way. We have sponsorship opportunities that range from $10,000 to $100,000. So if you can't afford the $10,000 option, there are ways to get involved just as an individual and to buy an individual ticket, or you can purchase a handful of tickets for your company, lots of different options. And then the silent auction, I would say, is another huge way to participate. If you can't attend the event, you can bid on items, you can share that link with people. It is open a week before the gala and then closes the night of. So the more we can spread that, the better as well. For the live auction, you do need to be at the event to bid, but the silent auction is open to the general public. So, or if you have an item to donate to the auction, you can get in touch with me as well. And my contact information is on the website and I can share that separately as well. It's alross@alz.org. So lots of different ways to get involved.
And I will put your contact information in the show notes so that they can go to the link, see what the website, see more about it. And if they want to reach out to you, they certainly can. But no, this is great. I'm excited. I'll be there. Debbie and I will be there, and we're excited to support. And one day we'll be one of the sponsors. Mark my words, it will happen. We will get there. But for now, we will be happy to be able to support you that way and look at some of those auction items. I'm excited to see that. You've got me excited now, Marty. I want to see the frenzy for one thing start growing, and then all of a sudden it's like,
yeah, I tell you, what's weird is, like, for such a serious disease, it's a very resoundingly exciting, fun event, because people mm-hmm. are eager to help, but it's not this downer of an evening. It's actually a very exciting evening, and it's really great. So, and I give Adrian and the whole team at the Alzheimer's Association credit for putting that together.
Yeah, so I mean, the event is
a couple of months.
Yeah, the event is called Hope on the Harbor. And I think my main focus is to always keep that hope as part of the event. This disease is devastating. And anyone in the room can tell you, like Marty said, that they probably have a personal connection to this disease. They probably know somebody impacted. And everyone will say it's not easy. But at the end of the day, so much is happening right now. We really are in this new era of treatment. And there's so much hope on the horizon. So the more we can do to keep that message alive during this event and keep it fun and uplifting, the better.
Absolutely. Well, thank you both so much for being on the podcast. And to our listeners, go to the website, support any way you can. And if you're not in a local area and you can't make it, support your local Alzheimer's Association. We do have people that listen to this outside of the New England area. So support your local causes and help people that way. But thank you again, thank you both for coming on the podcast, and we will catch all you listeners on the next one.